children. Hey, Christina.
You should be able to hear you now.
That's fine. Sure, can you hear?
Yes, I can.
Okay, 1 second. Well, maybe a little longer than 1 second. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start. It is 3:02 p.m. on February 15th, 2022. This meeting has been called by the board because the board has filed a notice of proposed rulemaking, which is commonly referred to as NPR, in order to amend its rules related to continuing education requirements and some general rule changes. An oral proceeding is held to accept public comment. Public comment can come in written format prior to today's date, or it can come in through questions during today's meeting. There's only one guest present now. I'm going to introduce her now. Her name is Deb Kappas. She's a local hygienist for several years serving the Arizona community. So we'll probably address that first. And we'll leave it open for probably an additional 15 minutes just to make certain that we allow ample time for people to come in. Before we get to Deb, I just want to cover, or Ms. Kappas, excuse me, a couple of comments that came in. One came in from the Arizona Oral Health Coalition, signed off by multiple people. And I'm not even going to really summarize it, but it was multiple people that signed off on it, and it's in regard to changes that they would like to see regarding Article 12, which deals with CE and continuing education and continuing education requirements. Additionally, that came in, on February 8th, those comments, Deb Kappas's comments. Although I didn't respond, my apologies, Deb. Hers came in on February 11th. She was also with the Arizona Oral Health Coalition. But she also wrote comments regarding Article 6 directly related to dental hygiene. And I won't summarize that because I believe that that's what you're going to talk about. And then lastly, yesterday we received from the Arizona, AT Still University, I was going to say Arizona, but it's not Arizona, AT Still University, a letter in support regarding the same articles regarding continuing education. And so today is, if it's a simple question that we can answer staff, we will address it and answer that question and then move forward. It's not likely that that's going to happen today. We're going to answer from staff. And so we've actually set an agenda item on March 4th, the board's agenda. They will receive all these comments, either oral comments that we received today that Yasmin will collect and pass on to the board, or the written ones we have already. So with those comments, I would like to give it to you, Deb, and ask for you to either summarize what we've already submitted or provide new comments.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. It's nice to be here because I have questions surrounding what I submitted in writing. So I was hoping that we could have that discussion today. But in summary, my comments were about was R411601C, D, E, and F, actually. I can kind of put them all together. And basically, the same thing applies to all of them. I think all of those are not aligned well with statute any longer. So these have been in place for a long, long time. And since that time, statute has changed a number of times over those years. And therefore, these areas just do not apply anymore. And I just thought it would be an easy fix just to strike them since they really aren't necessary. Statute covers very well what is required for local anesthesia and nitrous oxide certification now for dental hygienists, so there's no need for rule in those areas. And not these rules. and the other item was pertaining to placing interrupted sutures and certification of that procedure for dental hygienists. And dental hygienists aren't even allowed to do that anymore. So we went through a phase of grandfathering in some folks who had been doing that and then phased it out completely. So that doesn't even exist anymore. So to have language and rule about a procedure that dental hygienists aren't even, that's not even in their scope anymore, seems like not a good idea. I think it's confusing. If somebody goes to rule and says, oh, here's a bunch of stuff about interrupted sutures, so maybe dental hygienists can be able to do that. It just adds confusion. So I was hoping that we could make a really simple kind of change that wouldn't qualify as a substantial change by just striking this language. When I looked at the criteria that GERC uses, or what statute actually outlines for GERC to identify whether a change from the proposed to what gets submitted to GERC, you know, that kind of thing, I realized that you can't make a substantial change, that whatever you start off with needs to be substantially the same when it goes to GERC. And I'm thinking that this really wouldn't be a substantial change pertaining to the three areas in statute that kind of identify what you need to consider when determining whether it's a substantial change or not. And that's kind of what I want the discussion to be. If the board decided that this was a good idea and to strike it, could this be done in a simpler way and just be summarized in your stuff, rather than having you do a supplemental proposed rulemaking. Even though if it's a good idea, I know that takes a little bit more time, but at least it cleans up the rule a bit. So that's, I think, concluding my comments for right now.
So I have a question for you. Interrupted sutures and sutures, what is the difference?
Actually not a lot, but the way the law was constructed, there was a very specific use for the type of suture that dental hygienists were going to do. In other words, it wasn't a classic wound suturing. It was more, it was like just putting a couple of small sutures in the area of gum tissue between two teeth when that became kind of dislodged during dental hygiene treatment, which is so specific. But it was very clear that it wasn't wound suturing. So it wasn't that the dental hygienist came in after the periodontist did periodontal surgery, laid a flap of tissue, so you had an open wound or an open surgical site, and now the dental hygienist came in and closed and sutured up that area. That wasn't the kind of suturing that was allowed. So this was a very, very specific kind of suturing.
So this just came up because we have a 5-year rule review also.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've spent since the entire time we've been with the board dealing with rule changes, dental therapy, and everything else. So interrupted sutures, and where does it say that hygienists can no longer do interrupted sutures? Because I don't find
it just that. Doesn't say that you can't do it. It just is not in our scope. And that wouldn't be something that would be normally.
So you're talking about the actual not definition, the scope of practice, like we have the scope of practice.
In the statute. So as our statute is outlined, you know, it's not there anymore. So it used to be, and now it's been taken out. So all the language around suturing was taken out of the statute. And mainly because it just wasn't utilized. Dental hygienists weren't doing it. And the program that was required in rule in order to get that certification was no longer being offered because there wasn't a demand. So you had a situation that all of that just needed to go away because it just wasn't useful anymore. So it's not prohibited necessarily.
Right, that was going to be part of my question.
Yeah. Because so it's not prohibited. There is that kind of catch-all phrase anything that the dentist says that the person is qualified to do, and authorizes it, that they could do it. And the only thing that we're prohibited from doing is a irreversible procedure. Suturing probably wouldn't be considered an irreversible procedure. If you place a suture, you can take it out.
Right.
and no tissue has been changed, you know, no alteration of the tooth has been done, and, you know, that kind of thing. So while it's not, while it's not prohibited, I still think that this language is problematic because it talks about an actual certification. So it takes away from how those kinds of non-specific things mentioned in statute that might be done in a dental office between a dental hygienist and a dentist deciding that this dental hygienist can do that procedure. This isn't the kind of procedure that was attached that we would have in mind to use that statute and to use that rule. Having said that, the problem is then you have a whole criteria about a course that is, then you're in a loop. Then you're saying, well, the dentist can authorize it. Well, no, they can't because there's this whole thing in rule that says they have to go to this course and get this kind of training and be certified by the board. So you have a conflict.
And that's in Article 601?
601, yeah, the suturing one. Yeah, 601E and F pertain to suturing and the certification.
This just came up, I think, yesterday.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How interesting.
Let's see. So I'm all about simple, I think. The administration is too, I mean, if we can get rid of stuff that isn't necessary, then we should strike it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be in favor of it. It actually may be killing two birds with one stone, because then we could answer our five-year rule review a little bit different. But I guess I still would probably defer to the board as opposed to being staff making the decision. But I agree, I don't think it's substantive.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a question about the whole interrupted, because if you look at 701, which deals with dental assistants, it talks about the removal of sutures.
Removal of sutures.
Is it possible that it is a...
Well, suture removal, dental hygienists can do.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's placing...
It's placing them rather than removing them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think I'm comfortable... I mean, I like the written comment and your solution. I'm assuming the board will be as well, but I don't know if Dr. Hero was going to attend. This is intended not to include board members on purpose, and I don't really remember the reason why. And in fact, in my entire lifetime working for a state agency on and off since 97, I have never had to address public comments during an oral proceeding. This is the first time ever.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh, we got three written ones and Deb's coming. So, but Dr. Hero can't be here. But I do think it's best that any public comments can be gathered, collected, and then passed on to the board to respond to at a normally scheduled meeting, which would be March 4th, which it will be agendized properly for that. And maybe that'll be the outcome, but I think, and then probably Marilyn and Vicki might have a little more to say about that.
Especially since their institution or Vicki's institution, NAU, was the only place where a program was being delivered to do an interrupted tutors. I don't know if she's been there long enough to have an idea of what the history is, but.
So did you properly address everything you wanted to comment on that? Or did you want more?
On that, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you good, Yasmin? Yeah.
The only other comment that I would like to make, and it has to do with changes that would be considered substantive again or substantial again, having to do with the other comments that came in regarding the CE and adding those. I don't think that's substantial either. Just adding something in, it back in or into rule regarding a potential course or content area, topic area that would be allowed for CE. It's not being required, you know, you're not making an additional requirement. We're just asking that it be added into a group of courses that would be allowed. And I don't think that would be a substantial change to the rule either. So I don't know whether anybody made that kind of leap, but I think if the board considers this again in March, they might consider that it wouldn't require extra administrative work. That's where I'm getting at.
I can say if it's a mandate that licensees have to take cultural competency courses,
but they don't,
then it won't probably be accepted.
But it's not a mandate.
Right. But that's the question, though, right? The question set to the board is to review the required course, not required courses, but the required CE to put it as part of potential courses.
Yeah, to put it as part of a group of courses, but it's actually in an area that's not even required. If you read that area that it got put in, it's like the requirement is 0 to 14 or to X number of hours.
Yeah, only up to that.
Up
number.
To
you
that. So it could be zero. So it could be just not anything in there is not required. They are optional types of courses.
Right.
And we did that purposefully, not to make it a mandate.
So for Dennis, it would be the no more than 18 credit hours in the following areas: dental practice, organization, management. This is the way the current rule reads, I guess. I'm not actually reading from the rule because I think the lowering of by 9 credits actually lowers the 18, but to 14 or something like that.
Yeah, I got it.
So, but it would be dental practice organization and management, patient management skills, and methods of healthcare delivery. And the addition would be cultural competency.
Competency and health disparities.
And health disparities.
Yeah.
And that would affect, it looks like 1203. Hang on, Yasmin, hurry. 1203, they're written a little different. 1203.2, parenthetical 2. It would be R411-1203, parenthetical 2. Oddly, 1204 has an A, subsection first. And it would be A2. That one is 14, currently.
Currently, I was thinking it was.
Mm-hmm. Uh, 1205-2, this is dealing with centuries. And you'll have to probably make the same public comment later when dental therapy comes up, because it's not yet.
And, we will.
Okay. We will. And in fact, maybe...
It'll be easier. It'll be easier because
if it goes through here.
If it goes through here.
Yeah.
Because then it's just consistency kind of thing, and that'll be a piece of cake. So, yeah, the board's agreeable to do that. But yeah, we would make public comment if they did not. If they don't support that change, what I would actually like to see is the board going on the record and saying that just because those courses aren't listed, they would be of the type that would be accepted. They wouldn't get thrown out in an audit. They said that during our hearing, you know, our discussion of this, when we put it in and then it got taken out. And one of the last things I said during that discussion, because they kept saying, well, it doesn't have to be listed. It doesn't have to be listed. It still could be accepted. So I want the board to go on record to say, well, if we aren't going to list it, we would still accept those courses because they would still fall generally in that area. Because they were viewing it from a patient management viewpoint.
Well, I think the differentiation between that group and the board is you have 11 members with a different possible take on the comment. So
sure. But if you remember when we first put it in, it was the board that said that. The board agreed to it. The 11-member board, all 11 weren't there, I don't think, but the board did put it in. It was the committee then that said to take it out, and yeah. So by the time the whole package went back to the board, it was gone. So the board said yes, the committee said no, and then the board just accepted what the committee recommended. So that's an odd kind of thing to have happened. And like I said, if it doesn't end up going forward, you know, but ends up staying the way it is, I would hope that the board would be willing to go on record and say, yeah, we would accept those courses. This doesn't have to be specifically listed as a topic.
So you don't think that cultural competency is, I mean, it doesn't say it anywhere in rule.
Correct.
You probably already figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
But of the hours, like under, for dental hygiene under 12A1 or for dentists under 1, it talks about, what was the word I saw? So one's a dental public health.
Oh, well.
Well, I mean, which could, and I'm just trying to throw that out there just because I think that, I don't know, from direction that we've received from the board, I have a very liberal stance on courses. And if people are submitting and can, and I think at some point, probably this year, I would say calendar year, I would hope fiscal year, which there may be 100% audit simply because the database will collect information as people submit. So it's not, we're not going to be auditing everything, but as people submit a renewal, it will see the courses that have been submitted as part of that. And I think that one, we all, instead of like a 2% population on an audit, which is not happening well now at all, but we also would collect data. And I think that because of the liberal view that we look at CE, if somebody submitted cultural competence, and Sherry's on as well, and I don't know if Sherry wants to speak on this, but I think that if we would probably bump that into that bigger bucket of hours. I think we talked about buckets during the meeting.
Yeah.
And for dentists, it's 42, and for hygienists, it's 31, and dental public health seems to be super encompassing. So I don't, if the board in March 4th doesn't, and so this is why I don't think that I should be the one that would address this. I think it should come from the board. I still think it would be covered under one of of all three of the current licensees that we collect CE for, hygienists, dentures, and dentists, and dental consultants, I guess is another one. So, Sherry, I don't want to speak for you since you're on. Do you want to answer that?
I could see it both going with the category one, the medical health, and also category two, where it talks about patient management. I could see it going in either one of those categories. I mean, it would, if I was personally doing an audit, that's how, and it was, acceptable CE, that it met the rule requirement, I wouldn't have a problem with that personally, looking at it, because it's a broad spectrum, and depending what was in that course, what was touched in that course, if it would meet one of those two. But just mm-hmm. from listening to the definition from Deb and listening to your comments, Ryan, I agree with both of you.
But it would make it easier. And I think it shows cultural awareness. If you put something like cultural competencies and other things in it, and then the board looks like they're engaged with societal norms shifting or changing, and where maybe often people felt ignored, at least there would be something to say. Like, I think Scott Howell, said it really good.
Yeah, his little story was perfect. A perfect example of the broadness of this, and it's not meant to be discriminatory, which I think were concerns that were brought up during, the committee's work. Not about discrimination. It's actually about something far different. It's just about being a good practitioner and treating the whole person. They don't just treat the mouth. There is a body attached to that. So.
Right. Yeah, it's awareness, and part of that goes along with that bedside manner. So, if I thought that I could make an answer, I would have done it that day, as you probably saw. But I'm not the board, and I have sometimes put myself or staff on the board. But I think it just makes it cleaner if they're going to be. I think we already accept it.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't deny anybody that took a course. I wouldn't imagine that we would. It would be a surprise. I haven't seen us deny somebody based on a course they took since the entire 3 years I've been here. So I don't think it's an issue, but it's certainly worth pointing out. And so it was good to get his perspective. So I'm glad it looks like he was one of the signers on one of the letters, the one from AC still.
Yeah, for sure.
So, do you feel like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm good. So, right now it's 3:28. Normally, these are open. The oral proceedings are open for 15 minutes for comments from the public. We've been here for 28. Nobody else has shown up. So, I think that we can go ahead and adjourn this meeting and pass on the material to the board to review on March 4th. Wish I had a gal. You can start.